Governor Cuomo has something called his Energy Highway. We are anticipating a large turnout, and we would love for as many people to come as possible.
So large a turnout that you had to change the venue, apparently, for this meeting.
This group was formed around the start of the year, end of last year, called the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition.
That if you're going to do all of that, the first thing that you need to do is demonstrate to us that it's actually necessary, that there really is no need.
This is Community Power, a monthly series of reports on the Governor's Energy Highway, the popular resistance that it inspired, and the Cultural Resources Survey of Livingston.
This is the third part of my interview with Dan Duthie.
Dan, given that it seems like the fix is really in terms of the administrative process, they're just going to reinvent the process no matter how many times it takes to, you know, get the desired result, which was, you know, preordained. So is there a legal recourse?
Unfortunately, we're not there yet, because one of the tenets of seeking judicial review of agency action is that the action has to be, quote, final.
Right.
Okay, and we're not there yet. I mean, we don't have a final decision. For all I know, I will share that I have an optimistic bias, okay? For all I know, the commission will wake up, and maybe the commission will give the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition a Christmas present, and declare that this AC competition is over, okay? And let's spend all that money and energy on reducing demand, building more energy efficiency into the system. One of our other consultants at a presentation, Gidon Eschel, you know, suggested over a year ago, it'd be cheaper to give everyone a really efficient air conditioner in New York City.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yep.
And, you know, somehow that doesn't seem to be happening. you know, so you're dealing with a regulatory agency that's over 100 years old, that's kind of used to doing things old school. And, you know, my guess is that there are people in the Public Service Commission, you know, senior people that want nothing to do with REV. This is how I've, you know, learned how to regulate, and I want to keep the old system. I don't want to torture my brain with these new concepts and these new problems that I don't know how to solve.
Right.
So, you know, people always go back to what they feel comfortable with. And my guess is that there are people not only in the industry, but that are part of the regulatory community that think that way as well. And there are others that are embracing REV, are seeing this as a new paradigm shift, and they're trying to get with the program.
If we get to the point of a bad decision being made, though, what is the judicial review process
okay,
at that point?
That under the civil practice law and rules, it's called Article 78. And an Article 78 action is typically commenced in the appellate division and has to be done with a relatively short period of time. There is a theoretical opportunity to petition for rehearing, but that's probably a waste of time. But you have 30 days from the time the commission issues a final decision, which means when the actual order comes out, not from the time that you hear them discuss it at a public session, but from the actual time of the issuance of the order, which generally follows shortly thereafter the session, a couple of days, typically, maybe a week at the most, because they have the order is pretty much final when they're discussing it. They have a really comprehensive draft order in front of them that they've, you know, presumably have read in anticipation of the discussion at the session when they vote. So when that gets issued, you have 30 days to file for rehearing, or within 4 months you can seek judicial review under Article 78. And the standard is a pretty high bar to get a court to overturn an agency decision in New York. You have to show that it's arbitrary and capricious. And in this case, I'm feeling really good with the Brattle report. there in evidence, because it is arbitrary and capricious to pick an inferior alternative to the superior alternative. So I'm feeling pretty good about that opportunity. Or you have to show there's a lack of substantial evidence. In this case, I don't think, because there's so much analysis, so many experts that have, you know, weighed in on this. You know, the record is pretty substantial. And, you know, whether you agree with the evidence or not, there's a lot of evidence there for the proponents and the opponents of this particular, you know, AC transmission project. So, but I do think that, you know, we have a really, really good case on arbitrary and capricious when staff's own consultant showed that it was better to go REV than to go AC. But like I said, we're not there yet because we don't have a final decision from the commission. So, and, you know, and you know, Article 78, it's a heavy lift. They're very expensive. They're time consuming. You have to, you know, put a record together, and, you know, anything that occurs, you know, in court tends to be expensive. So,
okay. So the next step in the process is what at this point?
Okay. So right now, as of November 6th, the parties filed initial comments on the staff report, and comments came in from the transmission owners, of course, the New York Independent System Operator, which, you know, I got to focus on the word independent there.
Mm-hmm.
Their former president submitted a glowing letter in, you know, unabashed support for more transmission. So query whether they're independent.
Yeah.
They certainly don't seem to be acting independently in this particular proceeding, because they are, but let me put it to you this way. They have never seen a transmission line they didn't like.
Yeah.
And it's completely understandable, because they're, you know, primarily electrical engineers, and engineers, you know, if the architect says 2 cubic yards of concrete, well, the engineer says, I'm going to put in 4, because I want to be absolutely certain this thing's not going anywhere.
Right.
And the same thing on the electric side, you know, more transmission gives them, you know, so-called greater operational flexibility. And engineers have never been sensitive to the cost. So they sort of like don't care about the cost. They care about having as many options available as possible. And, you know, they like a newer, bigger and better system. So they're all for it. And then, of course, the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition, we submitted initial comments. Along with some of the members that separately submitted comments, the Town of Milan, Town of Pleasant Valley, et cetera, the Columbia Land Conservancy. So a lot of the parties have submitted comments, and so we are now in the process of replying to those comments that we think, you know, should be highlighted, not trying to repeat the arguments we have in our initial comments. And you know, one of the comments that we made was that, you know, until the staff report came out, okay, the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition had hired consultants to analyze the economics, because that's what was being bandied about as the justification. Congestion, congestion, congestion. We've got to reduce the congestion. And then all of a sudden, so we hired London Economics. We got intervener funding for them. They did a great job, put together a very comprehensive report. They attended the technical conferences in September up in Albany, which was the second set of technical conferences. We had the environmental conferences in July, and you know, on the issues of the environmental impact. And, you know, our consultant totally agreed. It was kind of scary. We virtually agreed right down to the last evaluation of which of the projects were, you know, low, medium, and high environmental impacts. So there was really no dispute between HVSEC and the staff on the environmental side of it. But now they come at the last minute on September 22nd with a report that now justifies the project on public policy grounds. They'd never, ever, you know, made that argument. So now they take us by complete surprise, and we really would like to be able to get additional intervener funds, and we have requested that, so that we can go out now and hire a consultant to rebut the staff report and Brattle report to demonstrate that there is no justification on public policy grounds. You know, the Hudson River is a treasure. It's a national treasure. And it's an economic engine for the Hudson Valley. Agriculture, tourism, all kinds of activities occur, you know, in the Hudson Valley that make the Hudson Valley a special, uniquely beautiful, historic place. There are many, many public policies that are out there at the state, national, and local level designed to protect the Hudson Valley. Here we have a policy that has now been, you know, discovered, if you will, to put another transmission line when it's not needed, which is going to have adverse impacts on the real estate values and on the agritourism, which Hudson Valley is depending on. So, you know, we're really hoping that the governor gets the message, because we don't want to see him make a really bad mistake. You know, we're really supportive of REV. We're really supportive of, you know, having a 21st century approach to our energy supply that's sustainable, that's going to keep the cost down. And this project is going absolutely in the wrong direction. And it would be, in our judgment, a terrible mistake, you know, for the governor to promote or to condone this kind of a project. He should really quickly find an exit ramp for the energy highway, and let's get back to doing something constructive.
Thanks again for coming on for a second time to talk with us. And again, I've been talking to Dan Duthie. He's an attorney representing 7 of the 18 members of the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition.
Hey, home makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.
Community Power is produced for Wave Farms, WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Hey ho, makes you feel so funny when you're walking through a town and you got no money. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you feel so down, picking up windfalls, crawling on the ground. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Well, you lose your mind if you sing this song about 100 times. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.